Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Last week, the Drug Enforcement Administration denied a petition to relax federal restrictions on the use of marijuana. Pot will remain a Scheduled I controlled substance like meth and heroin. This means it's considered to have no currently accepted medical use and has a high potential for abuse. Dr. Robert DuPont is in agreement with the DEA's decision. He is the first director of the National Institute on Drug Abuse. And Dr. DuPont, welcome to The Source.
Well, I'm glad to be with you.
So tell me, what about this decision from the DEA? Are you in complete and total agreement with it, or tell me what your thoughts are?
Well, I think that the simple fact is that Schedule I is for drugs that have abuse potential and are not approved for any medical use. So it's not just that it's heroin there. It's all drugs that are widely abused. And marijuana is certainly in that category in the whole world, as well as in the United States, as the most widely abused drug other than alcohol. So that seems to be, to be very clear. The issue of what's an accepted medical use really is very simple, and that is whether it's approved by the Food and Drug Administration the way all medicines are approved. And marijuana has not been approved. And it's not likely to be approved. A very simple explanation of this is, you know, medicines are not smoked. You don't have smoked medicines for a very obvious reason that that's a toxic drug delivery system. But also what the Food and Drug Administration approves is specific products. So it has to be the same every time. When you buy a medicine, every pill is exactly like every other one. So that's what's called purity. They have to be pure. And marijuana is not like that. Every dose of marijuana is different. So you couldn't approve it in any event. I'm a very big fan of the chemicals in marijuana having medical potential. But when and if that happens, it will be individual chemicals approved by the FDA and used in specific doses for specific illnesses. And quote, medical marijuana doesn't meet any of those criteria.
So you say marijuana has a high potential for abuse, like people die from it, from overdose?
No, they have a dependence on it. 60% of the people in the United States who have drug dependence on any drug, the marijuana is the drug that they have dependence on, and people buy the drug illegally. That's what it means, just like they do other drugs.
So the dependence is, if you take it away from them, then they have major problems, health issues?
No, it's because they have problems because of their use. The only way you make a diagnosis if there are significant problems in the person's life because of the use, including people going into treatment for marijuana dependence. And it's a very common source of people going into drug treatment in the country.
For smoking marijuana?
Yes, because of the effects of marijuana and their lives. Marijuana, you know, clouds people's thinking and has adverse effects of many kinds on the people who are using it.
So, and now, so you knocked marijuana for the fact that it's smoked. So, but not all marijuana is smoked. They have ingestibles. Would that be okay?
Well, if it could be a purified product that was the same every time, it could be looked at by the FDA. But I'm not making this up. This is what the law is. It's the same law for every drug.
What about herbal supplements?
Herbal supplements are not medicines. They're not approved by the FDA, and they're not medicines.
So in the ruling from the FDA, they also loosened some restrictions for research into marijuana. What are your thoughts about that?
I think that that's a good thing. That what the head of the DEA said in his report was that because there is an interest in research in marijuana, they want to have more than one source for that, and so up to four new producers will be permitted, but they'll have to meet the requirements of the law. And I think that that was a very useful step. I'm perfectly happy with having that that research go on. And by the way, there's been lots of research on the chemicals in marijuana for a long period of time. The Schedule I has not prevented that. There are hundreds of research projects involving the chemicals in marijuana, and I welcome that.
Let me ask you a question. If they were able to make it a Schedule II controlled substance, how would that change things?
Well, they couldn't make it a Schedule II because it would have to have an approved medical use first.
But people use marijuana all the time for treating PTSD and dealing with lots of issues.
Well, not as a drug approved by the Food and Drug Administration, they don't.
Well, the Food and Drug Administration, you know, they work within their rules, and there are people that decided they're going to use marijuana to treat themselves, and they say it's successful.
Yeah, but we don't approve medicines on the basis of claims. You approve it on the basis of controlled studies that meet the criteria for all medicines. They're not made specifically for, the rules are not made specifically for marijuana. There's a kind of paranoid view that somehow this is something special for marijuana. No, it's just applying the same rules that apply to all medicines. This has been for 100 years. We've gotten away from having medicines that are approved on the basis of hearsay or claims. You have to have demonstrated this to the standard that everything else is. And as I say to you, I think the problem comes down to even a simple thing of having a specific product. The Food and Drug Administration does not approve a chemical; it approves a product, and the product has to be the same every time. And it has to be pure. And leaf marijuana isn't like that. There's a long history of things like, for example, opium is a natural product. And in the opium is morphine, and also codeine are in that. And so what's happened is instead of using opium, we use codeine and we use morphine. And that's the way medicines work. You find a specific chemical, you prescribe that medicine in a specific dose, and for a specific illness. And that's what medicine is. You buy a medicine at the pharmacy in a controlled situation, and that will happen. This is the Institute of Medicine study of medical marijuana in 1999 exactly looked at this point, and they came to the conclusion that there is no future for smoked marijuana as a medicine.
All right, Dr. DuPont, I got to cut you off. I'm really sorry about that, but I think we made your point. Dr. Robert DuPont is the first director of the National Institute on Drug Abuse. He is in agreement with the DEA's recent decision to maintain marijuana as a Scheduled I controlled substance. We're going to take your calls on this topic when we come back from the break. 210-614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're continuing our conversation about the classification of marijuana by the DEA, still a Scheduled I controlled substance. We now have John Hudak with us. He's the Deputy Director and Senior Fellow at the Brookings Institution, and we are opening our phone lines for your calls, 210-614-8980. You could also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. And so, John Hudak, you say that there is a cannabis catch-22 when it comes to the scheduling of this class, Schedule I controlled substance. What does that mean?
Well, in order for a substance, you'll have to excuse me, I'm just getting over a cold. In order for a substance to exist within a certain schedule on the drug schedules, it has to meet certain criteria. And one of the criteria for Schedule I is that it has no accepted medical value. The challenge is that a substance being a Schedule I substance makes it very difficult to do research into whether a substance has medical value. And so a substance like marijuana can get trapped in a Schedule I status because it's hard to do research to disprove that claim that it can't be used for medicine.
But this new take by the DEA does make it possible. They're expanding the number of federally approved growers and loosening some of the restrictions for those for that research.
Yeah, the restrictions for research aren't really changing all that much. It's still going to be very difficult for individuals to get certified to study the drug, and it's difficult to get those studies approved ultimately. But if you are able to get a study approved on studying the efficacy of marijuana as a medicine, you will now have, or at least in the near future, have multiple sources to get research-grade marijuana. The existing source, researchers will tell you, doesn't supply a diverse enough stock or a sufficient enough stock to meet researchers' needs. And so it might not help increase the number of studies, but it will certainly increase the quality of those studies.
Okay, let's go to the phone lines, 210-614-8980 to join the conversation, like Jen. Hi, Jen. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes. My daughter has gastroparesis, where her autonomic nervous system, it doesn't work to properly get food through her body the way ours does. And we've read that medical marijuana has been used in California with some success. And I know that Israel has been using medical marijuana for some years now, and I'm wondering if I could research on this drug for medication purposes and use it to maybe help treat patients here, because I know the process for getting a medication approved through the FDA is very lengthy. And in the meantime, you know, my daughter, her quality of life is very poor at this point. And unfortunately, there are some things on the market that would help her. The one medication that is out, unfortunately, she cannot take. And the other one, for some reason, the FDA no longer allows to be sold in the United States. So we're left trying to find a pharmacy that overseas that we may or may not get exactly what we're ordering. Right. You know, it's kind of left up to, you know, it's just really questionable. And so I'm wondering why they couldn't take research from another country.
Okay, Jen, thank you for that call. And so John Hudak from Brookings.
So the FDA does look at research from overseas, particularly from labs or from universities that they trust as information that can help us understand scientific and medical questions. What I will say about the specific, your specific case, I'm not an MD. I can't comment on your daughter's condition or whether and to what extent marijuana might be helpful for her. But I think the story that Jen tells is one that is a bit frustrating, particularly to the marijuana reform advocacy community, because there are all of these existing questions about whether this substance helps, and there's anecdotal evidence from California and Colorado about how marijuana helps certain individuals with certain conditions under certain settings. But the lack of research, the lack of real gold standard research into answering those questions is getting stifled because of government policy. And I think most Americans expect more from that from their government, and they want researchers to have the freedom to pursue those research studies.
Now the caller, Tyler, is on the line. Tyler, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for having me. I just wanted to comment briefly on what seems to me like the absurdity of pigeonholing marijuana as something that has to be tested for medical efficacy, because ultimately there's a whole host of drugs that are perfectly legal that aren't used to treat medical problems that people are completely dependent on. And I just feel like that's more the direction that the national conversation should go. It's like how marijuana should become available and legal to people who want to use it without having to be justified in some strict medical sense.
All right, Tyler, thank you for the call. And your reaction, John?
Sure, Tyler. Well, I think there's two issues here. One is whether Americans should have the right to access marijuana to use sort of what you were hinting at, that in the way that they can use alcohol or tobacco or caffeine or other substances that, you know, have altering effects. And that's being, I think, conflated here a bit with medical marijuana. And if you want to start using marijuana for medical purposes, I think it is important to have a regulatory system that tells patients what it can work for, what it can't work for, what interactions it might have, what side effects it might have, and whether the cannabis that they're actually getting is what the manufacturer says it is in terms of potency, in terms of purity. I think if you want to have a system in which you can use marijuana freely, you know, recreational marijuana systems will offer you that. But I think particularly when you're administering a substance to people who have very serious health conditions, like Jen explained in the last call with her daughter, you want to make sure that that's being tested well and that consumers know what they're getting.
Okay, another caller with Lisa. And hi, Lisa. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
It's Aretha, but yes.
Okay.
So what I wanted to say is that your first guest seemed to say we are only going to make marijuana legal when we can make a profit selling. Specifically, even said you have to go down and buy it at your pharmacy, and everything seems to be about, like, yes, the minute we can have it delivered to you at a profit by the industry that's responsible for your health care, then you can have it. And I don't use marijuana. I don't smoke any substance. But to me, I think that plenty of us are just fed up with the notion that we're going to be regulated into being a profit center about something that people know to work. And it works for them and helps their health. And, you know, they're not going to sit around. And we're just sick of being turned into profit for the pharmaceutical industry.
Thank you for the call, Lisa. We hear this all the time. They say that Big Pharma is trying to keep marijuana, you know, from people having access to it.
Yeah, I mean, this is a concern within the advocacy community. It's a concern in other circles of American society about what role Big Pharma has had in prohibition and what role they might have in the future. I think if you look at the decision by DEA last week, you see a mixed bag, a set of choices that in some ways might help Big Pharma and other ways might hold up research that Big Pharma wants to do. And so I think it's a bit overblown, the suggestion that government policy on this point is really being dictated by the pharmaceutical industry. That said, you know, there are in medical marijuana producers all across the United States who are making plenty of profit off of this substance. And so I don't think the federal government is waiting until there's evidence of a profitability of marijuana before they start to reduce restrictions. If that was their burden, they would have reduced restrictions a long time ago as people are making money off of this.
Looking across the United States, we've got states like a lot of states that have medical marijuana and a handful of states that have recreational marijuana, and that numbers are growing. And while we have that, now we have this ruling from the DEA saying there is no medical use and marijuana is bad. And it seems like there's a lot of contradiction going on.
Yeah, policy in this area is loaded with contradictions. You have a federal law that is absolutely crystal clear, and that law states that marijuana has no medical value and that it is illegal in all circumstances in the United States. The Controlled Substances Act makes that as clear as can be. But then you also have an advisory from the Department of Justice that says that if a state wants to set up a legal and regulated system around medical or recreational marijuana, they can do so without fear of government intrusion, federal government enforcement, as long as they don't engage in certain bad activities like engaging with drug cartels or selling to children. And so you have, as I said, what is a clear law that says marijuana is illegal. And then the actual enforcement of that law is quite mixed, and it changes from state to state and system to system. And I think that's not what American policy is supposed to look like. And it also creates ripple effects and consequences throughout the system, throughout the states, that Congress and the executive branch really need to think seriously about addressing.
the executive branch. Does a president have the power through executive order to make marijuana legal?
He does not. He does not have the power by executive order to reschedule marijuana or deschedule marijuana. That has to come from one of two sources. One source is the process that we just saw play out the other day through rescheduling through the Department of Justice and the Department of Health and Human Services. Or Congress can pass a law that reschedules marijuana. Those are the two paths. And there is a lot of misinformation out there that says Obama can just, you know, sign an executive order and that would be it. He can sign that executive order and a court will stop it immediately because it is an exact violation of the law.
All right. John Hudak is with us. He is the deputy director and senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. John, thank you so much. We appreciate your time.
Thanks a lot.
And this is The Source on KSTX. Thanks for tuning us in.